This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
As those desperate search and rescue operations continue around the clock, this after the collapse of the Champlain Towers South condominium in Surfside, Florida, you have reports suffering that the 12-story beachfront condominium tower in Miami-Dade County that collapsed just early yesterday morning was built in 1981 on reclaimed wetlands. The building had 136 units, 55 units of which were in the two wings that actually collapsed. So heartbreaking. I'm sure that you have seen the video of this collapse. And what's sad is that what you are seeing on television, and because of the angle of that one video that showed this condominium just pancaked down in a cloud of dust and debris, it's much worse than what you are seeing. 809 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gale, via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Begging the question, how does a building just fall down? Many comparing it to what happens to structures during an earthquake. Some even referencing 9/11 with the towers pancaking their way down. But what's interesting is that not only was this building constructed in 1981, it's 40 years old, on reclaimed wetlands, but apparently it was determined to be unstable a year ago, this according to a researcher at Florida International University. Again, the building, which was constructed in 1981, has been sinking at Shimon Dewinsky, who is a professor in the Department of Earth and Environment at Florida International University. It's been sinking at an alarming rate since the 1990s, this according to a 2020 study that, well, unfortunately, sadly, as we now have four confirmed deaths as a result of this condominium collapse, 159 still unaccounted for, including a Colorado woman. But apparently this study did not get the attention that it certainly deserved. And when Dewinsky saw the news that the Champlain Towers South condominium in Surfside collapsed, he instantly remembered it from the study. He told the New York Times, "I looked at it this morning and said, oh my God, we did detect that." Now, he went on to say that his research is not meant to suggest certainty about what caused the collapse. The building, though, was sinking at a rate of about 2 millimeters a year in the 1990s, to which you say, well, that's not a whole lot. But when it comes to, if you're a structural engineer, a civil engineer, you know quite well that the effects are cumulative. But this researcher went on to say that though it was sinking at a rate of about 2 millimeters a year in the 90s, that it could have either slowed or accelerated in the time since. Now, in his experience, even the level of sinking that was observed in the 1990s typically results in impacts to buildings and their structures. He said that very well could have been the case for this Champlain condominium building in the 1990s. Now, Daniel Deitch, who served as Surfside's mayor from 2010 to 2020, he warned against drawing conclusions too soon. He said, "This is an extraordinarily unusual event, and it is dangerous and counterproductive to speculate on its cause." And as workers continue, along with search and rescue dogs, to search through the rubble, as I mentioned, sadly, though over 100 of those who either resided or were in this building at the time. Over 100 have been accounted for, but the death toll has risen to 4. And recent reports say that 159 remain unaccounted for. Now, according to Surfside Town Commissioner Elena Salhauer, she said, "This is not an act of God. This was not a natural disaster. Buildings just don't fall." Now, apparently, Miami-Dade County, along with other counties, certainly across the state, if not indeed around the country, requires commercial and multifamily buildings to be recertified every 40 years. And again, this condominium complex was built back in 1981, so do the math. Process involves electrical and structural inspections for a report to be filed with the town. There were reports that there was some construction, some sort of work going on the roof of this condominium, but once again, no conclusions drawn that that had anything to do with this horrific collapse of this condominium building. And apparently, the electrical and structural inspections, again, were underway for this building, but had not yet been completed. Now, cracked walls or shifting foundations can be clues that sinking has affected the stability of a structure. This, according to Mattis Levy, a consulting engineer professor at Columbia University and author of Why Buildings Fall Down, How Structures Fail. He went on to say that residents of the building might have noticed changes, asking the question, well, have there been changes in the building? Are there cracks in the walls or in the floor? Floors not being level, things rolling off of tables, he said. Well, that would certainly indicate that the building was shifting. And given the fact that this was built back in 1981 on wetlands, reclaimed land, well, there's always a concern for structures built in these areas. This according to Levy, reclaimed land, whether landfill or wetlands, it can compact over time, leading to shifts in the ground under the building and potentially to the foundation itself. Levy went on to say a millimeter might seem like a small number, but when you add them up over many years, it becomes a big number. The building could have been especially vulnerable if the ground it was situated on was sinking at different rates, causing a differential sediment. The fact that one part of it is still standing, said Levy, is important. The portion that collapsed might have been tipping compared to the other portion, which might not have been sinking as fast. So you have an unequal situation, and in between, things begin to crack and tilt. There has to be a trigger that occurs, he said. If you have two parts of a building and one part is well-founded and doesn't move that much and the other is not, then between the two, you get movement. And that can cause distortion in the floor slabs. They can begin to crack. Suddenly, you get cracking, breaking, and fracturing. And that leads to what's known as progressive collapse. That's when one part fails, then another, and another, until the entire structure fails. Levy went on to say that's exactly what happened to the World Trade Center after the 9/11 attacks, adding that buildings are not built super strong. They're not built to sustain an unusual event like this. If one part of the building fails, it drags the rest with it. It just continues. You can't stop. There's nothing there to stop it. No strong elements to hold it back. It's a cascade. Now, over the past several years, Dwinsky and his team have researched which parts of the Miami area are sinking, primarily to identify where sea level rise and flooding could have the most impact. They obtained historical data from European satellites, which actually map the area by bouncing signals down to the ground and back to identify those shifting elevations. The data collected from 1993 to 1999 showed that most of the Miami area was not sinking appreciably, save for a few hot spots. Dwinsky went on to say that most of those occurred in the western part of Miami, where the elevation is lower and the level of sinking at the Champlain condo once again was unusual. Just so heartbreaking as you see these just horrifying images of the rubble and all of the first responders. And again, big shout out to first responders who have been on the scene around the clock ever since this building actually collapsed in that desperate search for survivors. But as I mentioned earlier, a Colorado woman is among the missing in this Miami building collapse. We're confirmed piece by Kieran Nicholson out of the Denver Post. She's the wife of a political strategist and lobbyist who has deep ties in Colorado's Democratic Party. She's among those 159 people still unaccounted for in that beachfront condo collapse. Cassandra Stratton is her name. She is the wife of Michael Stratton, a Durango native and a senior policy director with the law firm Brownstein Hyatt Farber Schreck. Michael Stratton has decades of frontline experience in Democratic politics, including playing an active role in the campaigns of Senator Michael Bennet and former Governor John Hickenlooper. According to his biography, he served as a member of the Democratic National Committee. It was just last night the law firm confirmed that his wife, Cassandra, is among the missing in the building collapse. A Florida television station reported on Thursday that Michael Stratton was flying to Florida. Thoughts and prayers and a lot of hard work. Such a tragic event. 820 now, 1310, KFKA.
The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, it's that time of week and that time of morning as we welcome in Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at the Movies, fatguysatthemovies.com. Of course, you can hear his weekly syndicated radio program, a real don't miss, I might add, as he goes in depth, has the luxury of time to do just that each and every Saturday right here on 1310 KFKA from noon to 1 at 8:39, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice. Wait for it. Wait for it. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing good, Gail. How you doing?
I am doing outstanding.
You're just excited because there's a new Vin Diesel movie.
Yeah, I'm going to break out my crayons and coloring book. There was a. Do you remember that comedian that said if you're a fan of Vin Diesel, that goes to your intellectual acuity and you just need to start coloring outside of the lines?
You know what's wrong with that? There's a little bit. Let's put it this way. In this movie, Vin Diesel doesn't stay in the lines when he's driving the car, so
no.
Why should you stay in the line in the phone book? The coloring book, not the phone book. What am I thinking? What's a phone book?
Well, perhaps you're giving us some insights into your formative years when you colored in the phone book.
Yes. My mom's like, what's this page? It's all just blackness. And
it's
the darkness in my soul, Mom.
And, of course, there's Jason Statham as well. So I'll tell you what, for me, mm-hmm. F9, the Fast Saga, not only is it furiouser and curiouser, it checks all the boxes.
Yes, yeah, it has. I remember it was a couple years ago, either when the 7th or the 8th movie came out, I remember you were profoundly excited for it. Let's just put it that way. I think that's the way I'm going to phrase it.
There you go. And I'm even more so now because you know what I love about this entire franchise? It's so self-deprecating that it makes fun of itself before we can.
Well, and I will say this because, you know, I mean, there's not a whole lot more to say about a Fast and Furious movie, but you got to pay attention to Tyrese Gibson's character in this movie because he's slowly becoming self-aware in the franchise itself, you know, and you get a hint of that if you've seen some of the trailers, and you're right, that I like the fact that the movie is... It's absurd, and it knows it's absurd. And
of course.
It's winking and nodding and saying, look, people.
We're just having just go fun
with
here.
It. Yeah, just go with it.
You got to love it. So nothing unexpected, although I do love that, and I hope this is not a plot spoiler here, Pontiac Fiero that slips the surly bonds of Earth.
Yes, that was that's what's so crazy is, you know, to think back, the first movie, they were boosting VCRs and running red lights, and now they're in space in a car. You know, they're like, well, we retrofitted it with it. I'm like, well, why didn't you just build a space capsule then? Because why did it have to be a car? But, yeah, and that's the thing that's funny about the movie. It doesn't take itself seriously. I mean, a couple movies ago, they went from being just, you know, this they like were at one point, like you said, they were boosting VCRs, and then they were like bank robbers, and then they suddenly go on James Bond missions. Now they're going on Austin Powers missions.
Well, where else do they have left to go, right? Because
I don't know. Well, they don't go to outer space yet. They just go to space. I don't know when outer space starts, but you know, who knows? At a certain point, you've got to have crossover potential for, you know, like the Men in Black franchise or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have the director, Justin Lin. He hasn't done one of these Fast and Furious sequels, which will probably go on for time immemorial since he did Fast and Furious 6 in 2013. So how did he measure up?
Well, you know, it's I thought he had done the 8th movie. I guess I was wrong. Who did the 8th movie?
I have no idea.
You don't have
I will be. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I'm more caught up in, you know, the on-screen stuff going on.
Well, yeah, well, James Wan, who directed Aquaman, he did the 7th one, I know. And Justin Lin, he had done Tokyo Drift, and then he did, like, I think, like 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. And so this is not, I can't speak on Tokyo Drift, that I do not count myself a fan of that one, but...
Well, no, because it was obviously shot in L.A.
Well, there's But one of the things Lin does is, it's not his best Fast and Furious movie. I mean, it hit a stride with 5 where they sort of went ridiculous. I don't think it's his best one, but it's still fun. It hits all the boxes. You know, there's that saying, give the people what they want, and that's what Justin Lin and Universal's doing with this movie. It's ridiculous. It makes no sense, and that's okay. It doesn't need
to
make sense.
It's not supposed to. I mean, it doesn't need to answer the existential questions of mankind.
Well, it also, I mean, that's setting the bar high. I'm just saying it doesn't play by the laws of physics. So,
or a polite society.
Yeah. But no, it's fun. And one of the reasons these movies do so well, I've told some people, is because they're global hits. Now, part of it's because it does have a diverse cast, so it does kind of tick a lot of those boxes. And whether it's playing in South America or Asia or wherever, it plays very well to a global audience. The other thing about it is, you really don't have to understand any of the dialogue to follow the movie because it's not about the dialogue. Even the story behind this is they've got a rogue agent who is stealing a piece of tech that allows them to control any computer anywhere. And, I mean, that's such a ubiquitous, ridiculous concept, but, you know, it gets you where you need to go.
Not like that's never been done before.
You know. Well, didn't they do that with Charlize Theron in the last movie? That's literally what she was doing. She was taking over cars. But, I mean... Who cares? It's you don't even need dialogue to enjoy a movie like this because
it's all eye candy.
For the spectacle. Yeah. You've got these cars, these high performance sports cars, driving literally through the jungle. Where I'm like, if those things hit a speed bump too fast in the real world, they blow out their undercarriage.
Of course. Oh, and then remember they were dropping them out of planes and they were parachuting mm-hmm. down.
Yeah, that's nothing now compared to what they're doing. It's just so silly, and they're fun, and you know I give them credit. I'd like to be in a Fast and Furious movie. Can they put me in one? Because then I would never have to work again.
I'll be your agent. Okay, we'll work on that, Kevin. All right,
go talk to their people.
Yes, my people talk to their people, and then talk to your people as well, or however that goes. I did cheat a little bit here. I'm nothing if not transparent. I looked up F8. Okay, Fate of the Furious. It was directed by somebody I've never heard of, but someone you're probably quite familiar with, F. Gary Gray.
Oh, it was F. Gary Gray. Okay, yeah. He directed, like, the Friday movies, and he's done a bunch of stuff. Okay, so he did do that one. So Justin Lin is coming back. And, I mean, I think Justin Lin's, this is his fourth movie. It's not his best of them, but, I mean, it's still fun. It's entertaining. It's exactly, I mean... Look, by now, if you don't know what you're getting into when you get into a Fast and Furious movie, you don't deserve to see that.
Yeah, and don't worry about seeing the 147 Fast and Furious films. Okay, I'm launching into hyperbole here. That preceded it because, well, you don't need the backstory.
No, in fact, the backstory just gets even more confusing. What's also funny about it is I was able, when I saw this, I came out of the screening, and I said to the press rep who was there, I was able to name them in order because they've got the most bizarre order. It's not just Fast and Furious 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's like there's Fast and Furious, then Too Fast, Too Furious, then Tokyo Drift, then Fast and Furious, then Fast Five, then Furious. Fast and Furious 6 and Furious 7. I mean, I think the next one's going to be just FX.
Ooh, there you go. Although FX might have a little something to say about that, right?
Well, that's true, but, you know.
Oh, well. Fine.
It'll make good press.
Yes, definitely. I know I'm looking forward to it, as you can probably tell. All right,
okay.
And not to give it a short shrift here, but mm-hmm. let's talk just briefly, a little bit, about Werewolves Within.
Yes, this is a horror comedy. It's about a group of people who are stranded in this this sort of lodge in Vermont, or this small town in Vermont that's a ski town, and they're stuck there during a snowstorm, and the lights go, the power goes out, and they think there's a werewolf among them, and they try and figure out who it is, and that's sort of the basis of the video game that it's based on. But it's a comedy. It's silly. It's about this small town and the bickering that people do, getting on each other's nerves, and you know, do you even need a werewolf to get people to get mad at each other and cause problems? But it's very cute and funny, and it's got some gore to it because it's a werewolf movie, but it's mostly a comedy, so it's definitely worth checking out.
All right, sounds like a plan. Werewolves or zombies?
Oh, werewolves. I love zombies. I'm about done with zombies.
Mm, I am too. They're so predictable. But, you know, I mean, you can get insurance for the zombie apocalypse, right?
How much does that cost? And what do they pay out with? I mean, it's
brains.
A zombie apocalypse. What else
would you have? It costs brains.
That's right. I would be suspect of it. There might be zombies on the other end of that.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think it was a gimmick. I don't really think there's coverage for the zombies.
I hope so.
I know, right? Okay.
Is Lloyd's of London's insuring your car in case the zombie apocalypse happens?
Yeah, there you go. There you have it. All right, I think we should get out while we're behind. So, Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at the Movies, fatguys@themovies.com. Thanks as always. Go have yourself a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks so much. 8:50 now, 1310 KFKA.
NoCo Now is coming up next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Well, hope you're getting your stampede on this weekend. This as it's the 99th Greeley's Stampede, and all of the fun and the funnel cake. Yeah, count me in as a band, and turkey legs, all that good carnival food, all the entertainment, and of course, all the excitement of the PRCA rodeos. I mean, just so much to do and so much to celebrate as we honor tradition and celebrate all things Greeley. 853 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. All right, to borrow a phrase, promises made, promises kept. I've got, let's see, two pair. We're doing our Greeley Stampede concert blowout opportunity here. I have two pair of tickets to see Hardy and Lauren Elena. This on Saturday, July 3rd. All the fun concert gets underway at 8 p.m. at the Stampede, of course, Island Grove Regional Park. So tell you what, going to make it easy for you as we're about to slide on into the weekend ahead. Yeah, Mother Nature not going to cooperate too much. It's going to be a little drizzly, a little moist, a little chilly, but that's okay. We can still enjoy everything the Stampede has to offer. But if you'd like to get in on these tickets, again, I have not one, but two pair of Hardy and Lauren Elena concert tickets for their Saturday, July 3rd show at the Stampede at 8 p.m. So, yeah, for the first and second callers this morning, yes, indeed, now is the time to call, your cue to call. First and second callers, 353-1310, 970-353-1310 for that I've got two pair of tickets to see Hardy and Lauren Elena, again, at the Stampede, Saturday, July 3rd at 8 p.m. So call now, and best of luck to you. 855 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Okay, a very special programming note, sports fans, as 1310 KFKA begins its in-depth coverage of the 3A state baseball tournament from Niwot High School. You've got two-time defending champion University, 15-2, looking to three-peat and will be challenged by Patriot League rival Eaton, 16-1, and top-ranked Lutheran, 17-0, as play gets underway this morning. So here's how it's all going to work. We'll start with Faith Christian versus University, first pitch at 9:30, and of course, Clark Johnson, voice of Preps Radio, bringing you all the excitement today, followed by Eaton versus Lamar with the first pitch at noon, but we're not done yet. Winners of these first two games will meet at 3 p.m. on day one of the tournament at Niwot High School. And remember, continued coverage of all 3A state baseball tournament action can only be found on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. So looking forward to that. Closing in on 8:57 now, 1310 KFKA.
NoCo Now is coming up next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Correct, he is, but a truncated version of NoCo Now coming up next with your host, Tanner Schwint, from 9 to 9:30. This as we begin our coverage of the 3A state baseball tournament from Niwot High School. You've got the first pitch between Faith Christian and University at 9:30. Eaton versus Lamar, first pitch takes place at noon. All right, so get your Stampede on. Have yourself a great weekend. Big shout out to my technical producer, musical maestro Ryan Kelly, for a great week, a great day, and have yourself a great weekend.